the Word of God, and I read books on church growth and how to do it and all those things. You know, everybody's been trying to find that perfect formula, find that perfect program. If you do this, then your church will grow and all of those things. I want to tell you this. I think it's really, really simple. I really do. God has called this church to carry out the commission that Jesus gave. And when you break down the Great Commission, it really boils down to two things. It's soul winning and discipleship. And our job as a church is to take the gospel out of this building and into the world. It's our job to learn as we go. He said, go ye therefore. That means as you go, teach all nations. That means make disciples. So that means that as I go through my life, I need to give the gospel to other people. And that means as you go through your life, you need to give the gospel to other people. And that's from the youngest among us who's saved to the oldest among us who is saved and everyone in between. These kids who are saved and go to school, you need to be taking the gospel to your friends at your school. And when you go to work, you need to be taking the gospel to people at work. And some of you are like, well, I haven't worked, I'm retired, whatever. You leave your house sometime. Please, I hope you leave your house sometime. And when you do, take the gospel. And some of you, there are those in our church who can't leave. And I talked to Brother Billy, and he's really discouraged, and he's really down there at the nursing home. But, you know, God's got him there for a reason. We talk about that every time I visit with him, that God can use him in that place. And I believe God is using him in that place because he's a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. It really comes down to soul winning and discipleship because we want to see people come to Christ. But listen, Jesus Christ is not just some get-out-of-hell-free card thing, just this cosmic fire escape. He is the Lord of lords. He is the King of kings. He's the Lord of glory, the creator of all things, the savior and sustainer of your life. And you don't just pray the sinner's prayer and then go back to your old life. That's not what he's called us to. He has called us to live a life for him, to serve him, to grow as disciples of Jesus Christ. And he saved you and he is working to sanctify you and he wants to see you grow. Grow up in Christ. And so we want to facilitate those things. I want to tell you in this coming year, I pray God will allow us to do more things. You know, when you think about soul winning, I think about outreach. And of course, we think about our gospel tracts, and we're going to keep printing gospel tracts. We're going to keep printing them by the thousands. We're going to keep hounding you to give them out everywhere you go. I gave one to somebody the other day, and he came back a little later, and he said, I haven't got to read it all, but I really like what I'm reading. And he said, I want you to bring some back to my store and put them on the wall. He said, if you leave them on the counter, people just lose them. But if you put it on the board, I know when people take things off the board, they're going to read it. Like, this man wanted people to read the gospel. So we're going to continue to have gospel tracts and do those things. I pray by the grace of God we'll continue to make improvements to the property and to the building. I want to tell you, things are different here in our little corner here in Muldrow than they were 5 or 6 years ago. Hey, people can see the church from the highway. It's cleaner, it's more open, and God is blessed, and we've done a few things along the way, and I pray God will allow us to do more things along the way. We've replaced a lot of carpet. We got more carpet that needs replacing. We've repaired a lot of things. We've got more things that need repair. We've painted some walls, and we need some more walls painted and some other walls that need painted again. I'm praying at the church's approval that this year we're going to get some new signs out at the highway and let people know that something's going on at Calvary Missionary Baptist Church. Outreach has so much to do with all those things out there, but see, I want you to understand that everything that has the name Calvary on it, everything that we do is projecting something into the community. And we want to make sure that we define ourselves to the community, that we don't let the community define us. You understand what I'm saying? What I'm saying is that we need to be the people that Jesus Christ called us to be. We need to be real disciples. We need to be honest out there in the world. We need to be loving out there in the world. We need to be kind. We need to be good representatives of Jesus Christ. We want to define ourselves to them by our love for them. Amen? You guys with me? Because if we don't define ourselves to them, they're going to define us. And you know what most people in the world would define this church as? A cult. And we're not a cult. I don't even know how to make Kool-Aid. We're not a cult.
But there are people out there that would think that. Because when they see somebody that's wholly devoted to something, they think you're part of a cult. They think you've been brainwashed. They think you're crazy. I want to tell you something. If you know Jesus, you're going to be wholly devoted to him. And you're not crazy if you're completely sold out to Jesus. You're crazy if you're not. So we want this outreach to be the media that we put out there, the tracks and the signs and all of the things, the building and all of those things. You say, it's not about the building. No, it's not about the building. But I think we ought to do the very best we can with what God's given us. I think we ought to take care of it. I think we ought to, all of the things that we do, we need to strive for excellence. We want to define ourselves. We're going to continue to have an emphasis on evangelism here at Calvary until you get rid of me. Some people would criticize a church that emphasizes evangelism. Well, if we're going to be heavy on one thing, I think getting other people to heaven is a good thing to be out of balance in. Amen. We're going to provide training and opportunities for structured outreach. I'm going to continue to challenge you to cut your Sunday afternoon nap short this winter and show up at 3 o'clock for outreach. The weather's not always going to be great, and I understand that, but God has blessed us, friends. It has been amazing, the weather we've had. A little chilly today, but I'm telling you, God has blessed us with some tremendous opportunities, and God has called this church as a whole to be evangelistic. Let me give you another chance. I don't want you to miss that opportunity. God has called the whole church to be evangelistic. Amen. It's not the pastor's job alone. It's not the leadership's job. It's all of us coming together. And those structured, scheduled times are special opportunity. Special opportunity. 79% of people that come to church or go to a church go because of a friend or a relative. Do you know that? That's nearly 80% of people. That's 4 out of 5 people who come to church come because of a friend or a relative. I want to challenge you guys this year as we think about this idea of evangelism and outreach in 2020, you can go to Acts 20:20 and you'll find there that Paul says, I didn't hold anything back that was profitable to you, but I've taught you publicly and from house to house repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. He preached the gospel, and as we think about 2020 and this idea of publicly and house to house, one of the things we want to emphasize, not only our door-to-door evangelism that's structured, but we want to know who you know that isn't saved. And you ought to be thinking about who you know that isn't saved. You ought to be thinking about who you know that doesn't go to church, and you ought to be inviting them regularly. And you say to me, well, I invited them before. Listen, on average, it takes people 9 invitations before they'll ever show up to church. Now, I don't know why that is. People are busy. They got other things. They're not used to going to church, whatever the case may be. But on average, it takes 9 different invitations. And most of you give up on the 0th try. You tell me that's not a word. 0th. And you're probably right. But some of you have never tried. You know somebody who's not saved and they're not in church and you've never even tried to invite them. Some of those people are waiting for someone to invite them. They've got this image that's been placed on them that they hate the things of God and they would never go. And they, in their heart, they're just wishing someone would come along and invite them or give them the gospel. And you could be that one because you know somebody. You know somebody who God's working in their heart. Who do you know that isn't saved? And what are you going to do about it? Are you going to go to them and take them the gospel? Are you going to invite them to come and be a part of things? We're going to continue our outreach through our events like Easter, church camp, vacation Bible school, cruise night, Old Settlers Day, the Christmas parade, every way that we can. We want to be part of the events that are going on in our community. And we want the people to know that there's a church in Muldrow that loves them and cares where they spend eternity. But that doesn't end there. We want to continue with discipleship. If you haven't already gotten one, I want to encourage you. Out there on the table when you leave tonight is our year 2 Bible reading plan. Some of you have been doing the Through the Bible in 3-year plan we started last year, and you can pick up your copy of the Bible reading plan. It's just about a chapter a day, sometimes a couple more in the Psalms. But I'm telling you, you need to be in the Word of God every day this year. It'll change your life. as you inventory last year, you need to look at it and say, well, how much time did I spend in the Word of God? How was my Bible reading? How was my time in the Word of God? And it needs to be better. You say, listen, Brother Isaac, I started having morning devotionals every day last year. Praise God. This year, why don't you add evening devotionals too? Hey, listen, in the Old Testament, God called them to have the morning and the evening sacrifice. He wanted them to sandwich their day with time worshiping Him. That'd be a good idea for us. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, we praise the Lord, we worship the Lord, we spend time in His Word. I challenge you to spend time reading God's Word. There's the devotional books that are out there for your family as well. And I know some of you, maybe not all of you, have utilized those. They've been a tremendous blessing to our family. But there's one of those for every family in the church, and every family that visits this church is going to get one of those books. And I just encourage you, if you're not spending time with your family around the Word of God, that you start tonight. Take that devotional book home, get your family together before you go to bed, and open that thing up and read the scriptures and read the devotional reading and have a conversation about it and pray together as a family, because we all know the family that prays together. See, that's not even in the Bible, and you all know it. The principle's there. Listen, get your family together around the Word of God. We're trying to provide you with some tools to help you. Use the Bible reading plan if you don't have one already. Get the devotional book and use it as a family. Center your family around the Word of God. Because if we're going to live Christ in me, we're going to have Christ in our family. This year, we're going to have more opportunities for discipleship beyond our regular Sunday school. We have Starting Point every year for our new and prospective church members, trying to let people know who we are. There's 1,000 churches around here. What's different about Calvary? We want people to understand that. We want people to understand what the distinctives are, what the differences are. And so we have Starting Point as an opportunity for people to learn a little bit about the differences and kind of where to go. And then we have our continued discipleship. We just finished up one round of that. We'll be doing that at least one time this coming year, maybe twice if the calendar will allow it, as we dig a little deeper. We're going to, Lord willing, I'm hoping to have some electives as well. At the same time we had our continued discipleship, I want to offer some electives for you guys about evangelism. We're going to have an evangelism class that'll be on Sunday evenings before the evening service. I'm hoping to have a class on creation versus evolution. That's a major problem in the world today. Your kids are not taught the theory of evolution. They're taught that evolution is a fact. That's what they're taught. And I want to tell you, it's not a fact. It is, in fact, a theory. It's not even a very good hypothesis. The idea that everything came from nothing is nonsense. And so we want to equip you with some of those things and apologetics so that you can defend the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Soul winning discipleship is going to be our focus here in 2020, and all of the different things that we hope to do and continue to do. We just want to do it with this understanding. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, I want to invite you to look there with me tonight. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Are any of you, do any of you tend to learn things the hard way? Now, I'm not talking about a learning disability or being a slow learner. I'm just talking about being bullheaded. Stubborn. Anybody? There's a couple of you. I'm waiting on you to amen, because I know. Yeah, God bless you. I see that hand. Yeah. See, some of us are like that. We have a hard time learning. We like to learn things the hard way, apparently. Maybe we say we don't like to, but we continue to do it. We know better, but we continue to do things the hard way. And I'm continually learning the hard way that the Christian life is a struggle. It's a struggle. Now, I don't know what kind of things come into your mind when you hear the word struggle, but I think of like a wrestling match. Now, when I was growing up, I was one of the youngest of all of my cousins. And my cousins, they were evil. Okay? They did terrible things to me, mean things to me. And if I told all the stuff, I hope somebody would arrest them and lock them up today. I'm only halfway serious right now. We used to get around, and I don't know if anybody else, we used to have wrestling matches. I want to tell you, when you're the littlest guy of all the other guys, you either got to get tough or you just get hurt. It's the way it was. And sometimes I was tough, and most of the time I was hurt. But that, when I think about a struggle, that's what I think about. I think about being in the middle of a wrestling match when you're tied up like a pretzel and there's not much you can do. I think about the effort that takes when you feel like you can't move and you're fighting with all that you have. And I'm going to tell you spiritually, that's the way I feel the Christian life is sometimes. I feel like I'm tied up in a knot and I can't move no matter how hard I try. Like I think I'm going to get up and then I just get knocked back down again. I know that the scriptures teach this truth. We understand tonight that the devil is as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. He's not interested in just, he's not just like trying to tempt you a little bit. He's trying to destroy your life. We're drawn away of our own lust and enticed. The more you live for Jesus, the more the world is going to hate you. You're going to have to fight the world, the flesh, and the devil every day of your Christian life. God gives us some pictures of what the Christian life is like. He says it's like you're like a seed that's planted in the soil. But what do we learn about that? Sometimes there's thorny ground, sometimes there's stony ground, and we know you can't grow in stony ground. You know that the thorns will choke you out if you're in the thorny ground. And so, but you think about the life of a plant. It's not easy. It's got to go through times of drought when there's not enough water. It's got to go through storms. It's got to go through all kinds of things. And it takes a long time and a lot of patience before any plant will bear fruit. That's what our life is like as Christians. He tells us our life is not only like that, but it's like the marathon runner. You think about the marathon runner. That marathon runner has to be willing to run. They have to run when they're tired. They have to run when they're hurt. They have to run when they're sick. They have to keep running and keep going. They have to be mentally and physically fit for the challenge. They face that fatigue and injury, and they face fainting, but they've always got to be looking ahead. They've always got to be reaching for the goal if they're going to be successful as a marathon runner. The Bible likens us to a plant, to a marathon runner, but it also likens us to a soldier. And I can't help but be thankful in my heart when I think about soldiers. Aren't you thankful for the troops, the United States Armed Forces? Amen. I like to joke with some of the guys. Most of my family were Army. Some of them were Navy. And we've got a Marine in the church, at least one of them. And I like to kind of stir those guys up. But I want to tell you this. At the end of the day, they've all got the flag of the United States of America on their shoulder. Whatever branch they're in, they serve the same constitution. I thank God for them. But let me tell you something. It's not easy to be a soldier. It takes sacrifice. It takes dedication. It takes hard work. It takes enduring miserable conditions. How do you know, Brother Isaac? Were you in the? No, I didn't serve, but I know a lot of men who have. And I'm telling you, I thank God for those men and women who serve in our armed forces. I get this source of gratefulness in me, and then I immediately switch and think about how God describes us. Hey, listen, a soldier's got to be trained. A soldier's got to be equipped. A soldier's got to be always ready. A soldier has to know how to obey commands. He's got to be physically and mentally fit for the challenge. A soldier has to fight. I know some of what the scripture says about our Christian life, and I'm still learning the hard way. I get blindsided. I foolishly make provision for the flesh. I'm not ready. I'm not fighting, at least not as much as I should be. I get knocked down. I fall into sin. I fail. But I'm learning. Ever so slowly, I'm learning that the Christian life is not about what I do for Christ, but it's about what he is doing and will do in me. He saved me. you realize there's not a soul in this room that has not at one time had the wrath of God abiding on them. And there may be some in here right now that the wrath of God is abiding on you. And when I was 14 years old, I cried out to God and asked him to be my Savior. I trusted in Jesus and he saved me from the penalty of sin that I deserve. And tonight, friend, if you're lost, you can be saved. I'm having a hard time. I've had a hard time learning that our salvation, it's final, but it's not final. See, I think this is one of the things I've had a really hard time with in my life, because he saved me and it's done. It's as though it's already done. We sit together with him in the heavenlies. We are passed presently from death to life. John 5:24, right? The moment you believe, you are saved, you have eternal life, but then you go, wait a minute. Why am I still failing? Why am I still falling short? Why do I keep running back to sin? Why do I give in to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of the life? Why am I still struggling if I'm saved? And the answer is, you're saved from the penalty of sin. But God is presently working in your life to save you from the power of sin. He is working in you. You are saved. You have eternal life. But you still have a carnal mind and a carnal body. And there is a war going on inside of you. And God wants to work in your life for you to put off the old man, put on the new man, and to walk in the newness of life he's given you in his Spirit. We've got to go through the struggle. Listen, the second you got saved, he could have just took you to heaven, but he didn't do that. Taken you to heaven, but he didn't do that. He wants you to stay here and to live for him. But he doesn't want you to live for him on your own. He doesn't want you to do it on your own. Look, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul wrote those words. But it's my words tonight. And if you're born again, it's your words tonight. You can say it. Just start right here. Who loved me? I want you to read this last little bit with me out loud, okay? You ready? Right here. Who loved me and gave himself for me. This is one of my favorite verses in Scripture. It's overwhelmingly convicting to me, and I want you to get this. I am crucified with Christ. Now, most of you in this room tonight, you understand what it means to be crucified. You've studied about it, and we talk a lot about the scourging that Jesus went through, the torment and the torture that Christ endured before he ever went to the cross is overwhelming. But just reading about the crown of thorns and the Old Testament letting us know that they ripped his beard from his face, just reading how they spit on him and they beat him with rods and they scourged him. I mean, it's overwhelming to consider the suffering that he went through. That's not even getting to the place where he gets to the cross. I've seen some of the archaeological digs where they show where people were crucified, and it's just every time I see the pictures, it breaks my heart. I've seen where they have excavated men's bones that were crucified with the nail still embedded in the bone. Ankle crossed over ankle, spike driven through the ball of the ankle all the way through, and then hammered over the point so it can't be pulled out. Excruciating. He gave himself for me. Friend, you can say that. As a matter of fact, there's not a person in the world that can't say that. Jesus gave himself for me. He died for all because all are dead, and I'm telling you tonight that you ought to live for him. But you can't do it on your own. It has to be him living in you. See, our theme for this year is really about us getting out of the way. And Christ living through us. How do we do that? Number one, we have to be alive by faith. We have to be alive by faith. You must be born again. Christ is not in you if you're not born again. I talk to so many people who think everybody's God's children and everybody is not God's children. Jesus made it plain in Matthew 8, if you are not a child of God, hold on, it's John 8. Just to be clear, it's John 8. Jesus says to them who don't believe in, these people are not genuinely born again. They have no real faith in Jesus. He says they're of their father, the devil. And I know people would say, oh, I'm not a child of the devil. I'm a good person. Some of you might be offended tonight. Oh, I'm not a child of the devil. Never been a child of the devil. But the truth is, every person who's not born again is a child of the devil. They're not alive. They're dead in their trespasses and sins. I was. And tonight, either you were or you are dead in trespasses and sins. So you have to be made alive by faith in Jesus Christ. Now, faith in Jesus Christ is more than a mental assent. There's all this debate going on. I see so many times people debating about repentance of faith, repentance of faith. You have to have repentance or is it just faith? And I'm going to tell you, I believe with all my heart, you might as well just say they're two sides of the same coin. You cannot have genuine faith in Jesus without turning from your sin to Jesus. And you cannot and would not turn from your sin to Jesus if you didn't believe. It takes both. That's why he says, and came preaching, repent and believe the gospel for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So tonight, if you've never been born again, if you're not 100% sure you're going to heaven when you die, I plead with you to repent, turn from your sin to God, and put all your faith in Jesus Christ. And if you'll cry out to him in faith, he'll give you everlasting life. I pray with all my heart you've done that, and I pray with all my heart that everyone here can take that message to the world this year. How is it going to be me, yet not I, but Christ living in me? Well, the life that I now live in the flesh, I have to live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm alive by faith in him, and I live by faith in him. We walk by faith and not by sight. Where does faith come from? Romans 10, 17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What's the deal, Brother Isaac? Why are you always hounding us about reading our Bible? Because you don't have faith if you're not in the Word of God. Let me ask you a question real quick. Any of you ever had doubts about God, about the Bible, about all of this stuff? I know that you have, and I know that I have, and most of us have struggled with that, and if you're honest, you have to admit it. And I promise you this, I'm not a prophet or a seer, but I know this without question. When you were doubting, you were not in the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. That's why we have Bible reading plans. That's why we plead with you to have family devotionals. That's why we plead with you to be faithful and come here and listen to the preaching. That's why we take our sermons and we put them on calvarymuldrow.com under the sermons tab where you can go and listen to them anytime, anywhere. Because we want you to fill your life with the reading and studying and hearing of the Word of God. Because that's where faith comes from. Faith comes from. I am crucified with Christ. We're going to talk about this so much more through this year, but I just want you to take a second to think about it. He gave himself for us. I'd like to ask you to do some homework for me. Go home and read Isaiah 53. Go home and read Isaiah 53. And if you can remember, read Psalm 22. And consider what he did for you. You see, this crucifixion, he was crucified, and Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. So we think about his sacrifice for us, but then there's a sacrifice for him. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He gave himself for you, and it only makes sense that we would give our lives to him. Are you alive in Christ tonight? Some of you, I want to ask if you're alive at all right now. Somebody, you hold a mirror in front of their face just to make sure. Are you alive in Christ tonight? Amen. See, some of you are smiling and nodding at least. I'm not dead in my trespasses and sins anymore. I'm not destined to spend eternity in the lake of fire, eternal death and damnation anymore. And it's not because of me, it's because of Jesus, and he gave himself for me. I am alive in Christ. Are you alive in Christ? Amen. Not, hey, I'm going to heaven one day, streets of gold and the crystal sea and all that. I'm saying right now, this night, are you alive in Jesus Christ? Then we ought to live for Jesus Christ. If you've never been born again, if you're not 100% sure you're going to heaven, I plead with you tonight that you cry out to God and be saved. Put your faith in Jesus once and for all. If you are saved and you know you're saved and you know you're going to heaven, then give your life to him. We've got to let go of our sin and ourself and give everything to the one who died for us and rose again. Tonight, we want to give you an opportunity to respond. And I want to ask you to stand with me. Our musicians are going to come. We're going to have a verse of invitation. But tonight, I want to ask you a little bit more. We always want to invite lost people to come to Christ, and you don't need me to get saved. You can get saved right where you're at. Matter of fact, most people I think that come down the aisle usually are saved before they ever step out. If you've never been saved, we want to invite you to trust in Jesus as your Savior tonight. But more than that, I want to talk to you that are members of Calvary Missionary Baptist Church. Do you want to live for Jesus this year? Do you want to live for him greater this year than you did last year? Do you want a closer walk with Christ than you've ever had before? And tonight I want to plead with you, where you're standing or down here at the altar, I want to ask you to cry out to God that he would live through you this year. That by his grace, he would get us out of the way. That he would fill us up with his Spirit, and Christ would live through us this year. If you really want that, then you need to start by asking him for that. Because he's the only one that can make it happen. If he's convicting your heart, you want to cry out to him tonight. And you come right now while we sing.
Page 5.